My dear brothers and sisters in Jesus and in our Blessed Mother. The story that I'm going to narrate to you will probably be an anti-climax to our Christmas preparation, or sometimes as I call the naive sentimentalism of contemporary Christmas celebrations. But here is a real story that was reported, and I've just titled it Christmas 2009. This is the story of a young, pregnant, immigrant woman who was admitted to an Ohio hospital with unusual pelvic injuries. She spoke no English, and she looked terrified. The people contacted a local organization by the name of Casa Amiga so that they could translate what this woman was really saying. They soon discovered that this woman was an illegal immigrant and was being held captive by a local couple to bear the husband's child, who would then be sold to another childless couple. The woman's injuries were a result of the couple's efforts to speed up his birth, the child's birth. Now, we all know that human trafficking and flesh trade, these are all pretty hot topics these days. And that is why recently on November 9th and 10th, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops Migration and Refugee Services held a conference on human trafficking at the University of Dayton. Now you may ask, on Christmas midnight mass, why do I begin my homily with such a heartbreaking story? Because if I had to say to you that there was a couple, an immigrant couple, that was pregnant, and they went from door to door knocking for a room to give birth to their baby, and when no one would help, that they gave birth to the baby in a stable, and that they laid the baby in a manger, that is an equally heartbreaking story. It is not uncommon for us to think of the Christmas story as a perfect, glamorous story. Sometimes we get caught up with the romantic part of this Christmas story. God's love for us, the humble compliance of Mary, the perfect obedience of Joseph, the innocence of the baby Jesus, the singing of the angels, and the bright leading star. And these are good sides of the story. But as we read the story, we realize there are unpleasant parts of the story. The inhospitality of the people, the birth of Jesus in a stable, being laid in a dirty manger, Herod and his insecurities, the persecution of innocent children, and the flight of the Holy Family to Egypt. So the reality is this. The reality is that the Word, which is perfect, which is beautiful, becomes flesh in a world that is imperfect. The perfect Christmas story unravels itself in an imperfect world. So 2,000 years later, not much has changed. Christ comes to us sometimes as a pregnant immigrant woman's child. And yet, God is with us. The Word continues to become flesh in a continuously imperfect world. I'm going to focus the next 3 points of this homily on those words. The Word becomes flesh. My first point is this. I want to say that our lives, our individual life, each of us, is a microcosm of the Christmas story. Because there are some good things in each one of us. Each one of us desires God's love. Each one of us desires the holiness of Mary, the obedience of Joseph, the innocence of Jesus, the joy of the angels, and each one of us wants to be a star for God. And that is beautiful. But then we also realize that there are unpleasant parts to our lives. We too can be inhospitable to the stranger. We too can shut the door for God. We too have our fears and insecurities. We too can defy God's will. These are also the realities of our lives. And the joy of Christmas, the good news of Christmas, comes from the fact that God does not reject us, just like He did not reject an imperfect world. The text from the dawn mass readings says, when the kindness and generous love of God our Savior appeared, not because of any righteous deeds we had done, but because of God's mercy, God saved us. And yes, the Word became flesh in an imperfect world, which means God still loves the world. God still loves you and me. God continues to save us. My second point. I'm not in the habit of putting up Christmas trees. I don't have a Christmas tree in my room this year. When I said that to my RCIA people last year, one of the people got me a Christmas tree that big, a lit, pre-lit Christmas tree with a few ornaments. And then time came to take this tree and ornaments down, and I realized that one of the ornaments did not make it to the tree. Somehow I didn't see it. And I kind of felt bad for that ornament. Because I think an ornament makes sense only on the tree. If it doesn't make it to the tree, it doesn't fulfill the purpose for which that ornament was created. I see our lives something like that. There is the Christmas story, and I call that the Christmas tree. And then there is the ornament that is your lives and mine. If both these stories don't come together, then Christmas doesn't make sense. Somehow our lives must be an ornament on the Christmas tree of the story of Jesus. They've got to gel. The tragedy today would be if our lives get lost like that ornament I lost without being in touch with the story of Jesus. So I say to you today that in every immigrant we serve, in every life we save, in every hungry we feed, in every homeless we embrace, in every lonely person we love, in every enemy we forgive, in every naked we clothe, our story becomes one with the story of Jesus. Every time we do this, the Word becomes flesh. And my third point, I was watching Ripley's Believe It or Not once, and there is this guy who celebrates Christmas every day. In other words, every day he wraps gifts. Every day he delivers goodies. Every day he dresses up like Santa. Every day he lights up the Christmas tree. Every day for him is Christmas. Well, it is pretty bizarre. That's why it is on Ripley's Believe It or Not. But when I saw this, I said, this is pretty weird. This is crazy. But from a Christian perspective, it really makes sense. If we think about it, look at this guy. This guy is really not too far off. Every Eucharist is a new Christmas. Because in every Eucharist, what happened in Christmas happens all over again. The Word becomes flesh. At every Eucharist, Jesus comes to us in a real way. At every Eucharist, Christ here becomes flesh and blood. Christ continues to be born anew each day. God continues to save in the Eucharist. So I want to conclude by merely saying this. Here we are at the midnight service of the year 2009, thousands of years after the birth of Christ. It doesn't have to be any different from that first Christmas. Because in a few moments, just like Mary gave birth to the child, here our worship will give birth to the Savior. This is our manger. This altar is our stable. Christ will be present here, flesh and blood, like he was at that first Christmas. And to the extent that we allow that story and our lives to become one, to that extent, this Christmas will be a memorable one. This Christmas will fill us with joy. This Christmas will become ever so meaningful. I pray today that the Word becomes flesh, not just on that altar, but that the Word becomes flesh in our lives. Today, we can be Christmas. Today, Christ can be born anew in each one of us. And the people of God said,